Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Evan Roberts, Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Thank goodness that today isn't Halloween, because that would just be unfair. It'd be unfair for the kids. It'd be unfair for the parents. Nobody wants to go trick-or-treating in a rainstorm. It's a disgusting, rainy, windy day, and tomorrow's supposed to be nice, and then you get your candy. Welcome in to Evan and Tiki here on this Halloween Eve Thursday. A lot to talk about. We'll get to the football later on, including Carl Banks responding to Dexter Lawrence, who responded to Carl Banks, who responded to Dexter Lawrence's play. We'll reevaluate our opinions on who's going to win more games this year, the New York Jets or the New York Giants, and why Victor Wembanyama may not be all that impressive. But a few days ago, Tiki made a really compelling point that a lot of Yankee fans were debating, and that was that the Yankees have to do for Aaron Judge what the Dodgers did for Shohei Ohtani, which is essentially stack the deck.
Yes.
Well, as the Dodgers are on the brink of elimination, fingers crossed, and the Blue Jays are on the brink of a World Championship, I ask you, Czar of Baseball Tiki Barber, what do the New York Yankees have to do to be more like the Toronto Blue Jays?
Well, I mean, they have a young stud pitcher, Cam Schlittler, just like the Blue Jays do, and Trey Yesavage.
That is true.
They have a banger like Vlad Guerrero, and the Yankees obviously have Aaron Judge.
Mm-hmm.
Do they have a leadoff guy? Maybe sometimes, not really. So they need a leadoff hitter, but to be like the Blue Jays specifically is not one person. It is a mentality. Whereas the Dodgers, their mentality is go pay as many of the greatest players that you can and get as deep and as impactful by the checkbook. The Blue Jays get grinders. These guys don't strike out.
Right.
They battle pitchers. They force you to get frustrated and get through your entire arsenal and then ultimately choke up and just put the bat on the ball and see what happens. And that's not sexy. That's boring. That's kind of, in the regular season, it's boring. But when you get to the postseason, it gets you 5-run innings or 4-run innings or 3-run innings. And so the Blue Jays have a mentality that the Yankees need. But I think the Yankees are more likely to do it the Dodgers way than they'll ever do it the Blue Jays way.
Well, what I would argue is that while the Toronto Blue Jays are having a wonderful season, mm-hmm. and they may well win the World Series, the question I ask you, I actually even disagree with. I don't think the New York Yankees should want to be the Toronto Blue Jays. Because
why?
Because the Blue Jays winning isn't about a formula. It's not about, see, guys, I told you all along, you have to strike out less. I don't think the Blue Jays are winning and proving a formula is correct. They're just playing really good baseball at the right time of year. I mean, they ended up winning the same amount of games in the regular season.
Yes.
You did a great job of even mentioning that Yesavage and Schlittler, you can almost argue, are the same.
Right.
I mean, if anything, Cam Schlittler pitched a hell of a lot more during the regular season, but he's that same electric young arm that could dazzle in the postseason. And honestly, if the Yankees won a few more games, Schlittler would have gotten that opportunity.
100%.
Wasn't his fault. But, like, the Yankees draw more walks than the Toronto Blue Jays.
Mm-hmm.
They draw more. I mean, I just want to start with that. They have a higher walk percentage than the Toronto Blue Jays. Isn't that kind of important? Like, getting on base? I mean, you mentioned contact, but, like, the whole objective of contact is to eventually get on base, and the Yankees did that better than just about anybody this season.
Yes, they did. But when they needed to put hits together and drive runners in and get on base, as you were just talking about, when it mattered, they didn't do it.
In a four-game sample size.
I know that, but I think when you do stuff, this is why I was so enamored, at least a week ago or two days ago, so enamored with Shohei Ohtani.
Mm-hmm.
Because when he gets his moment, he's ready for it. Now, he wasn't great last night, obviously, but his moment was 2 games ago.
Right.
And it was unreal. I feel like the Yankees judge this year, but in large part, they don't have those moments, at least not recently.
Well, they didn't have the moment this year in a best of four series or best of five series that only went 4 games. They had that moment a year earlier when they got to the same area Toronto got to, not quite winning 3 games in the World Series.
Right.
They won 1 game in the World Series. I just don't think, and I guess this is what I reject, and I'm hearing a lot of this over the last couple of days, is that, well, the Blue Jays got to the World Series. They've won 3 games against the Dodgers. The Yankees need to be the Blue Jays. Like, they have somehow cracked some magical code.
No,
they
I didn't say that. I said the Yankees need to be the Dodgers.
Well,
you asked me how the Yankees could be the Blue Jays.
Do they need to be the Blue Jays?
And I said the Yankees will never be the Blue Jays because they want to be more like the Dodgers.
Right, but first of all, both are big market teams. So in fact, the Yankees are more similar to the Blue Jays in terms of payroll than they are the Dodgers. When you look at I'm being
relatively
serious.
Relatively speaking, you're right.
The Blue Jays are fifth in payroll.
Right.
The Dodgers are number one. The Yankees are third. And I think the Yankees are closer in payroll to Toronto than they are LA.
That's a good point.
So they're both big market teams. I just don't think, and we're going to fall victim to this, that because the Blue Jays are winning, and because they make a lot of contact, and because they have a lot of quote-unquote grinders, that is going to naturally make us think, see, Brian Cashman, that's what you need to be. And I don't think that's really true.
Yeah, I don't either. You asked the question of me. I don't think that the Yankees should try to be the Blue Jays. I think they should try to be more like the Dodgers because they have the resources to do that. Now, I know they don't want to, and historically they haven't. But the question's going to ultimately become, 1, 2, 3 years from now, when you're wasting the opportunity for your biggest star, that is Aaron Judge, I guess Garrett Cole is jumbled in there as well. You're missing the opportunity to take advantage of having your biggest stars at their prime. Whereas the Dodgers have their biggest star at their prime, and I mean, unfortunately for the rest of the MLB, Shohei Ohtani's likely to be at his prime for the next 4 years.
Right.
And so it's an extended window that you have. Whereas the Yankees I know their window is open, but does it feel like it's open?
Yeah, no,
it feels like it's a screen. You know what I mean? It's an open window, but there's a screen there. Something always stopping you a little bit from penetrating and getting to the promised land.
I think the Yankees have always shown, outside of a brief rebuild, retool in the 2014, 2015, 2016 years, their window's always open. Doesn't mean they're going to win the World Series, but they're always right there and they're always a contender.
Yeah, but that's what we're talking about, though. We're talking about winning a World Series.
Yeah, yeah.
The Dodgers are trying to win a World Series every year.
Yes.
And you're right about Toronto. Are they going to be in position to win a World Series for the next 3 years straight? I doubt it.
No, I think the Blue Jays are a wonderful story, and I don't want to minimize what they're accomplishing, but I think what we do every single year is when a team wins, we look at them and we kind of open up the hood like it's a car and say, how did they get there? Let's be more like them.
Right. But I don't know. I think it's only because of the familiarity. So the Dodgers, obviously, because of last year. The Toronto Blue Jays this year, because we see them so often in the division. But I don't think anybody was trying to be the Diamondbacks. I don't think anybody was trying to be the Texas Rangers when they won it a couple of years ago. In fact, we barely paid attention to it. And who the hell's going to go sign aging pitchers and say, "Yeah, that's the future. That's the way to get it done."
But
you might get one.
Yeah, I think in that case you're right. Texas, but that's because no one watched the World Series.
Well, exactly.
So that was the one exception because no one paid attention. But you even said it with the contact. Like, I even think that to a degree is overrated. Like, the Toronto Blue Jays are a win away from the World Series. And if I ask you, like, right off the top, why? You know, how has this happened? How are the Toronto Blue Jays a win away from a world championship? What's your answer to that, Sean?
First of all, I think that the Blue Jays lineup is built to more contact than the Yankee lineup. And batting averages would show that.
And pitching has been great.
So, obviously, I can't argue with that stuff. Like, they make more contact than the New York Yankees. But they also are doing something else that's very, very important and should not be ignored. The Toronto Blue Jays have played 16 postseason games. They have hit 27 home runs.
Right.
That's a lot of home runs.
Including two and three pitches.
The New York Yankees played 14 postseason games last year, so I guess that's three less. They hit 22 home runs.
I think
the Blue Jays are hitting pretty much the same amount of home runs as the Yankees a year ago, if not more. And last night, when they changed the tone of the game, how did they change it?
But
they changed it by hitting back-to-back home runs to start the game. Yeah. Home runs are still king as much as we try to minimize it.
Yeah, but when you watch that game, it felt like these 6, 7, 8 pitch at bats were what were going to ultimately be the difference maker for the Blue Jays. And it ultimately it was.
You don't think it's them hitting more home runs?
I mean, it is.
Which they have.
It's connected, though, Evan. It's connected. I know back-to-back, that's kind of an outlier.
On three pitches.
I
they set the tone for last night's game on back-to-back home runs on three pitches.
But the Blue Jays all year, and this is played into the postseason, when you see more pitches, you hit to contact more, you're going to see more pitchers. And you're eventually just going to have your bats going like that, where you're going to have more opportunities to hit
home runs. Right. You know you're kind of wrong about one thing? The Yankees see and saw a lot of pitches.
But they don't continue innings with contact.
100%. Like, I can't argue the contact thing. Like, they strike out more than the Blue Jays. We saw that in the series. We know it. The numbers are the numbers. What I'm telling you, though, ultimately is hitting home runs, as much as we downplay it and say, you got to be more grindish, you got to play more small ball.
It is very important.
That's why the Blue Jays are a win away from the World Series, ladies and gentlemen.
You need both.
I get it, of course. You want everything. That'd be my answer. Like, I want everything. Like, so to sit here and say, they got to be more contact driven. They got to this. They got to hit home runs. The teams that hit the more home runs in each game in the postseason tend to win. That's not a coincidence.
Can't you be more contact-driven, though, and still hit home runs?
Yeah. I'm not against having more contact on my team. I'm not saying, like, it's terrible. I'm saying let's not over-exaggerate what Toronto is doing. They're actually doing things that the Yankees do just better. They're hitting more home runs. Again, they've hit 27 home runs during this postseason run. Is that a lot, Teague?
I mean, yeah.
It's a lot. Vladimir Guerrero hits one every other day. It's a lot. They flipped the Ohtani game on a two-run home run by Vladimir Guerrero Jr. They flipped last night's game on back-to-back home runs. So I give them a lot of credit. I don't want to minimize what they're doing. I am rooting for them. But what we cannot do is over-exaggerate some of the things they do the Yankees don't and say, see, that's why the Yankees haven't won. I don't think that's fair or accurate.
It's definitely not, and it's completely discounting the pitching that the Blue Jays have gotten, including last night where Trey Yesavage was out of control. Excellent.
Incredible.
10 strikeouts through 5 innings, and what, he finished 12?
Over 7.
I mean, it's just ridiculous for a rookie to have that good of a stuff. But so you don't discount the pitching, but it's, to me, it feels like this Blue Jays team is dangerous throughout, and you don't know who it's going to be. And now I'm not going through every single player and saying he's hitting this, he's got hitting this, he's only doing this, this guy's doing X, Y, Z. It just feels like given any of the moves that Snyder does, they kind of work out.
Yeah, well, that's, you know what that is sometimes? That's called a magical season.
That's true.
I mean, the Blue Jays have had like this magical season because I do think 162 games is a very good barometer of who you are.
Yeah.
Because baseball's like this long-winded thing. It's not decided briefly.
Mm-hmm.
And over the course of 162 games, I think we saw that the Yankees and the Blue Jays were basically equals. Now, when they faced each other, it was very different, obviously. Mm-hmm. I can't deny that. But I don't think like there's this huge gap. And I don't think that the Yankees have to reevaluate everything that they are to be like the Blue Jays, whose World Series, if they win it this year, and I'm not convinced they are, they still need to win one more game,
it's probably a one-off. Like, if we're being honest, I don't think the Blue Jays are going to go win back-to-back World Series. It's probably a one-off, so we shouldn't over-exaggerate what a one-off is. You know what I mean? We shouldn't look at it and say, that's the end-all, be-all.
I hear you, but there's a theme that runs through this team.
Yes.
And they respond to their moments. And Snyder gets put into the leadoff spot. First pitch he sees, he takes it yard. And it's not, he's hitting 211 or 210 or something in the postseason this year. So it might be that. It might be magical. And again, I'm not saying the Yankees should be like the Blue Jays. I think the Yankees need to try to be more like the Dodgers. But I don't, because they have the ability to be like the Dodgers if they want to be. Being like the Blue Jays would require a culture to develop, a manager who pushes the right buttons all the time and makes the right decisions, and guys feel, I don't know, engaged in.
Isn't that what you're describing? Kind of lucky though, that pushes all the right buttons.
Maybe
it's called a magical year.
Maybe,
you know what I mean.
Maybe, but that's what I'm saying. It's not replicable.
Well, think about this in terms of the contact, because that is such a huge talking point, right? And Sean mentioned it, and I get it. I love baseball, and I would love my teams to not strike out as often as they do. So I'm not even saying you're wrong. Last year in the American League Championship Series, the Yankees faced a team that never struck out. That was the beauty of the Cleveland Guardians. They never struck out.
Right.
Did it matter?
No.
Why?
They didn't hit enough home runs either.
Right. They were just better.
Well, there you go. Like, not striking out's cool, but hitting home runs and scoring runs is cooler. And so while Cleveland had that quality a year ago, no one said we got to be like Cleveland because the Yankees spanked them. Mm-hmm. And they spanked them because they hit more home runs.
But the Blue Jays do both. That's the thing.
I get that.
That's the answer. Right. That's how you find a way to thread the needle and do both.
But you know what? The answer isn't really an answer, because I see teams, and we see teams every year win using a variety of different ways. Like, I hate that phrase about the cat and the skinning of it.
Yeah.
You gave me another idea. What should I use instead? Cutting the pineapple. You could cut the pineapple a lot of different ways. What? You can win a championship a lot of different ways.
Sure, yeah, the skin the cat was what you said. Oh, I said shave the
sheep?
Sheep.
Yeah. Shave the sheep.
Shave the sheep. Evan, and you said, why would a sheep want to be shaved?
Yeah.
Then he's bald.
2025, 2020, like the modern day baseball.
Yes.
I know we don't count it much, but I still think it matters. What do you consider a good batting average for this era?
Oh, boy. That's a loaded... It depends who the player is, right?
But that's why I'm asking. Forget the player. If you were just saying any player, I'd like him to hit at least...
Honestly, if you get to 270, like, that to me is almost the new 300, if you will.
I was going to say, that feels great.
That's great.
I was going to say, like, average, you hit around 250, you're good.
I'm going to go the bar for you here, okay?
Yes.
The Blue Jays had 9 guys play over 100 games this year.
Right.
Okay? Many of them you're seeing here.
Mm-hmm. Blue Jays had the highest team batting average in baseball by a lot. Like, I'll acknowledge that.
8 of them hit 240 or better. The Yankees, in the same scenario, had 4 guys hitting below 240 this year.
Right, but
that's a major difference in these teams, while then comparing the home runs.
But the Red Sox also had a really high batting average, second highest in the American League, and the Yankees beat them in the postseason.
They did, but this is...
You see what I'm saying, though? It's not like an exact thing. Like,
I do.
I'm not against improving the team batting average. I'm not against striking out less. I'm just saying don't look at it as the end-all, be-all, because we're forgetting that the main reason the Blue Jays are where they are is because they're hitting a crap ton of home runs. That's the overall point. And I know it's not sexy and it's not a part of the storyline we try to put out there. They're relentless. They make contact, blah, blah, blah. Sure, they do that. They're also hitting a lot of home runs.
The Yankees only do one of those things. That's the difference. The Yankees don't hit to a high enough batting average. All they do is bludgeon teams at home runs. The Blue Jays are doing both. That is the biggest separator between why the Blue Jays are winning this year, on top of fundamentals, which is a one-year anniversary. But that's a big separator here between the Yankees and Jays.
I think it's frustrating because it's not easy to define why one team wins 94 games and gets to the World Series and another team wins 94 games and gets knocked out in the true first round, the divisional series. And sometimes, I hate saying this, I hate saying what I'm about to say, but it's so freaking true, sometimes it's just luck. You know, I know that sounds like a Cashman line, but it's so true. The Toronto Blue Jays, I never felt were the best team in baseball all year long. They had a really good year. They had a couple of hot streaks. And luckily for them, they're playing some of their best baseball now. Unfortunately for the Yankees, they didn't.
Right.
I mean, they didn't play their best baseball. And they got sent home what feels like 6 months ago. Reality of it was like 4 weeks ago, which is crazy. that the Yankees were eliminated that long ago, and here we are on the precipice of a seven-game World Series.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Brandon Tierney and Sal Licata on WFAN The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Well, now that the Blue Jays, BT, have the Dodgers on the brink of elimination, I'd be lying if I said I wasn't thinking last night while watching that game, you know what? This makes the Yankees look a little bit stronger here. I don't know Yankee
stronger.
Fans.
Wow.
I think it does make them look stronger. Yeah, when Yusavage goes out there and does what he did to the Yankees, mm-hmm. he does it to the Dodgers, maybe even at a higher level. Seven innings like that on the road in the freaking World Series. I do think it changes a little bit of the perspective on the Yankees for me. And then when you see the way that they handle the Dodgers, instead of saying, well, the Yankees fell short again and they lost a little bit early and bounced before the ALCS, You maybe look at it and say, you know what? I mean, maybe just Toronto was the best team in baseball and the Yankees were good to the level that they had the same record as them in the regular season, but not good enough to beat who turns out to be the best team in baseball.
They're so different than the Yankees. And where they're different, they're just better. And that shows up in October. Well, they had 37 foul balls the other night. You know, when the it's funny. When you come off the dynasty, right, just to kind of connect some dots here. So win the 2000 Subway Series, obviously. 2001, you're looking at the Diamondbacks, broken base hit. 03, Marlins, young pitching staff. Those losses to me were stunning. They were absolutely stunning. And then as you got a little deeper into the mid-2000s, whether it's the Tigers with Torrey, when Alex Rodriguez was dropped to the bottom of the lineup, and then, you know, eventually you move into whether it's the Astros, the wild card game with Keuchel, and obviously the different iteration of the Astros, and of course the Dodgers last year, et cetera, et cetera. Like, it's, to me, I look at the Toronto Blue Jays, and that's how I want the Yankees to be built. I really do. So I don't process it necessarily like the Yankees look better, the Yankees look worse. I just look at it as it's no longer an outlier, Sal. It's no longer like, oh, wow, what the heck happened? Yankees didn't win the World Series. Wow, what a freaky, wacky occurrence. The Yankees didn't get to, and the Yankees won't win the World Series because they're still not built the right way like Toronto is.
Right, but think about it. If they were to beat Toronto, I know it's a big if, but there was a lot of thought going in the series. I certainly thought the Yankees were going to beat the Blue Jays. I know you felt good about the Yankees beating the Blue Jays. I didn't think the Blue Jays were going to be the biggest threat. Turns out that they might be the biggest threat. And who's to say that if the Yankees couldn't figure out their way past Toronto, or if they can't close the gap with Toronto, who, by the way, they had 94 wins.
So do the Blue Jays. Big Bay Blue Jays had 94 wins. I know they do it differently. I know that everybody's in awe of the way that they do it. That's fine. But it's not like the Yankees and Blue Jays were so far apart the way that we thought they were from the Dodgers a year ago. And now we're seeing the Blue Jays, who went from worst to first and are on the brink of winning the World Series by beating the big, bad, unbeatable freaking L.A. Dodgers. Shohei Ohtani, oh my God, how are they ever going to beat the Dodgers? They just beat them two in a row in their ballpark. One, they need one, and maybe the best home field advantage in the sport right now.
Yeah, it's popping in that place, man. It's fun to see.
Now, I'm not saying I like the way the Yankees are built at all, because I don't. However, they did win 94 games, and they did lose to the team that seems like they're going to be the best team in baseball, and a team that certainly has handled it, at the very least, even if they lose these next two, they took the Dodgers to the brink, which is something the Yankees didn't do. So I actually do think you can make an argument that it makes them look stronger.
But think about how they won the 94 games, which, and not that we're watching Toronto every night during the regular season, but obviously we are now. Obviously we did against the Yankees in the playoffs here. Like the and this is the same routine, which is why I'm fairly desensitized, although the night that they get eliminated, whatever that is, it bothers me, and then it kind of quickly fades because my expectations have changed, which is why I'm imploring Hal. You got to do something different this offseason, which is a different discussion. I don't want to throw 9,000 things on the top on the table here. But like, I look at the Yankees winning the same amount of games as Toronto, and we all know the answer. Well, how did you do that? You bludgeoned average pitching. You hit a ton of home runs.
Right.
Now, I do think that the Yankees defensively were a little bit better this year. They were better on the bases. But you look at than previous teams. You look at the bottom third. You know, you're talking guys who are hitting 210, 212, strikeout rate 23, 25. Ungodly percentages and rates that are just untenable when you're trying to string together rallies in October against really good pitching.
I get
they don't
it.
Have that.
No, I get it, BT, but let's not make it like Toronto's just, you know, putting the ball in play all over the place, finding holes, getting little bloops. Like they're hitting.
No, they're banging it too. I get you. They're banging it as well.
George Springer doesn't hit that big home run in Game 7. We may be looking at a Mariners sweep, getting swept by the Dodgers potentially. Like, you don't know. So Vladimir Guerrero's been hitting home runs left and right this postseason. So maybe their stars are performing better than the way the Yankees stars did. The pitching. I mean, your Savage is better than anything the Yankees were doing in the postseason, even with all the money the Yankees have spent. Like,
man, he's been amazing.
So I do think it's a little bit deeper than just and I'm with you. Like, I'd rather build a team with balance. I've been saying that for years at the Yankees. Like, it's the same thing. All or nothing. Home runs, strikeouts, too many up and down the order. Where, yeah, everybody could hit 20, 25 home runs, but they also could strike out in a big spot. So I would like more balance. However, I don't believe that the Blue Jays are that much better than the Yankees. And I believe that they played a 7-game series. It might have been different. Now, Toronto's owned them all year long, so I'm not saying that the Yankees would have lost, but I don't think the disparity is as great as I did think it was from the Dodgers last year to where the Yankees were a year
ago. Now, remember, I was a little worried about Toronto the whole year. Like, I never once said, oh, yeah, the Yankees are going to win the division because they're the Yankees. Like, I never dismissed Toronto. Now, I didn't think that they were quite this good. I didn't know about you, Savage. I mean, there's just certain things you didn't know. Variables like the Yankees did. Like, nobody knew about Schlittler at the start of the season unless you're really a prospect guy or a gal.
I was more with C-Mac, like calling them frauds. C-Mac would call them frauds.
Yeah.
I didn't call them. I just didn't believe in them.
Nobody did. Right? I'm not waving the flag saying Toronto's, you know, an absolute powerhouse team here. But they just, they looked a little different than previous Toronto teams. Yeah. I knew they were better than the Red Sox and the Rays, obviously, and the Orioles are a mess. So I thought that would be the Yankees. Chief competition. The thing, though, when you look at the Yankees' flaws here, and we all know what they are, and even if they would have advanced, Rodon even pitching in the World Series?
Yeah.
He had surgery the next day. So there's other things that I can incorporate here, but the most worrisome thing for the Yankees for me, and I just don't think that this plays well enough to win a championship series and then eventually a World Series. Who's the leadoff hitter? Still don't know.
Yeah, I know.
Still
don't
know the leadoff hitter.
It's ridiculous.
Still don't.
Well, was DJ LeMahieu going in the knee again?
God,
like,
I know.
No, but that just shows you how ridiculous it is.
Well, like, that's
again, going into this year was supposed to be LeMahieu. Like,
I know. Absolute lunacy. And then the other thing, too, is how many times when we give you, if the Yankees had a day game and you and I get the lineups and we throw them out on the air, which obviously is sponsored, we talk about the lineup, or you and I did, and we did this for the Yanks and Mets at toward the end of the year, constructing lineups. We did this a lot, right? How many times were we like, well, maybe put this guy behind Judge, or no, maybe this guy behind Judge, more contact. Well, this guy's faster. They still don't have definitive, absolute protection for Judge. So until you get a legit leadoff man, I'm hoping it's the offseason, it's going to happen now,
And whomever it is, whether it's a Tucker or if Bellinger's back or whatever, they just got to clean up some things. I'm not saying that they're without talent. Of course, the Yankees have a lot of talent. And you get Gerrit Cole next year, and the Yankees could, with a few tweaks and a few bold moves, they absolutely could get to and win the World Series. But this group, I'm not surprised, and I don't feel better by Toronto looking as good as they do against the Dodgers.
It's never good, especially when you're the Yankees, but really anybody. It pertains to the Mets as well, but we're talking about the Yankees here. It's never good when you could even just say, well, they were better than us. Nobody should be better than the New York Yankees. However, for me, not that I'm taking solace in this, but I thought that they were, like, even going into this year, they could win the American League. They're not going to be able to beat the Dodgers or beat the Phillies. Who knows about the Brewers? And that has changed to me where I firmly believe it's a lot easier for the Yankees to close the gap from where the Blue Jays are to where they are currently than it would have been had the Dodgers went out there and won another World Series. And by the way, they still could, but just not looking as dominant, even with all the moves that they had made in this past offseason. BT and Sal on the Fan, our friends at Town Fair Tire. Remind you, to Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Josh is calling from Long Beach, starting us off. What's up, Josh?
Hey, Josh.
What's up? You guys drive me crazy sometimes. I love you to death, by the way. But constructive criticism, the Yankees were so close to the Toronto Blue Jays without Cole. Like, you forget to mention that Cole, like, that'd be like having Patrick Mahomes get hurt, and you're like, well, the Kansas City Chiefs, you know, we just didn't have it this year. No, they lost their big guy, you know what I mean? They lost two of their starting five pitchers. And the very end of the year, what's the name, went out with a bum elbow. Like you can't get that.
Hurt.
So if I'm Hal, I'm not as stressed as you guys are.
Yeah, but hold on, Josh. Mean? Josh,
you're listening to what we just said, Josh?
You bring up the pitching, man. See, my biggest gripe, how about the bottom third of the order that strikes out twice a night? You know, each hitter.
Oh, yeah. I'm a Mets fan, so I get it. But I'm just saying.
I don't know if you do. Like, I mean, you said you guys, BT and I are saying two different things. I'm saying that the gap, I think, is easier to close with the Blue Jays. And you're saying you would relax with that. Like, you're actually agreeing with some of what I said. And by the way, I wouldn't say the way that you did about, well, Gerrit Cole, he's not Patrick Mahomes, okay?
Not anymore.
Yeah, good God. And that one pitcher is not as important as Mahomes is. Mahomes is arguably the greatest player the sport has ever seen.
Well, and
he plays the most important position.
Yeah, and they had Gerrit Cole against the Red Sox in the wild card years ago, and he got absolutely rocked. I love Gerrit Cole. Now, next year is going to be very exciting, but, you know, there's fatal flaws. I mean, I think it's very easy to identify what they are. Now, the way you started this, like, do I feel a little bit better because Toronto looks the way they do against... Yeah. Now, specific to Toronto, I don't. Semantics a little bit.
With the Dodgers.
Maybe specific to the broader spectrum. Maybe there's a vulnerability with the Dodgers that I didn't really think was there yet. You know what I mean? So maybe if I want to kind of latch on to that. But, you know, that's kind of, you know, waving the magic wand. The Yankees need to be, they got to be on point this offseason.
Right. You'd rather the Yankees be better than everybody else. And that's obviously the case. I mean, the Dodgers didn't even have a great regular season. And they ended up with 93 wins winning that division. But it was not 93 wins for the Dodgers. I mean, people were saying they're going to win 121 games.
They were banged up. They got healthy at the right. A lot of their pitchers. We know this. Blake Snell, all these guys.
Their bullpen stunk. I mean, all the money that they spent on the bullpen, it's still not very good.
Betts didn't have a great year. Remember that? He was awful for most of it.
Understood. No, Ohtani didn't pitch the whole year. I mean, even now, Ohtani in the postseason hasn't been as great as everybody makes it seem. Like, he's been all-world Babe Ruthian for three games.
You're true.
The and other invisible. 12 now.
Yeah, well, remember, he was like, I think he was 1-for-30 at one point, or 0-2 for something like crazy. He was at like 0-50.
Yeah, we did a thing yesterday on Baseball Night in New York on SNY. In the other 11 games outside of the three dominant games, he had like one homer, and he was hitting .139. And then last night, he's another 0-for-4. So you do the math. Out of 15 games, three great. Oh, my God. He's the best thing ever. And then 12, not good. Meaning, like, if he were in New York, we'd be like, ripping him. If you could pull Aaron Judge off a 60-plus home run, 62 home run season, you see, and you knock him in the postseason, and we question that. Ohtani, if he had an awful 12 games in the postseason out of 15, I think he'd be getting ridiculed as well.
He would, but the difference is I've always got a championship. So imagine, like, I know you know that, but imagine if Aaron had a championship and then he had a Dave Winfield-like 81 World Series performance, hit .110, whatever Dave did back in the day. That's number one. And number two, I know the Dodger fans care. I know that they're locked in when it matters and all that stuff, but I can't imagine they're calling up whatever station is the main station out there in L.A., and they're talking shop like we do here. I just don't think they know. This is like a real generalization. Yeah, I don't think they know baseball the way we do. I don't think that they care about baseball the way we do. And I just think they're motivated by other things because there's some nice diversions. Yeah.
Entertainment.
Yeah, Sydney Sweeney.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah. Joe is calling from Brooklyn. What's up, Joe?
Hey, Joe.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up, brother?
So my whole question to this is not so much, but everyone's talking Ohtani, but yet this guy Vlad Jr. is having the best postseason ever, pretty much. He has 8 home runs in 16 games. I think he struck out less times than he has home runs. And on top of it, you still want to hear, and everyone still wants to talk about Ohtani.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, but you know why. And people are talking about Vlad, and you could call and talk about him, Joe. Even in your call,
What they should do is, but why don't they talk about Ohtani with the gambling?
Okay, Joe.
Well, nobody cares about that. Come on, Joe.
Here's the guy, BT. Joe's calling to try to highlight Vladdy, and he referenced Ohtani 15 times in his 5 seconds on the
air. There you go. Well, you're the problem, Joe.
Yeah, call and talk about Vladdy, and then we would talk about Vladdy. You talked that we were watching the play during the break.
The pick, the throw to third.
Yeah, his defensive play. We obviously saw what he did against the Yankees. We've watched. Vlad has been a guy on the mission. I wanted Vlad to be
I thought
he was going to be the Mets first baseman. This is a year ago. I'm saying, forget Pete.
Yeah.
Go get Vlad. And then he signs that mega deal. Now, I didn't think he was worth it, but if they win the World Series this year, who cares what the rest of the contract looks like?
I didn't think he was worth it either. You see, he's a very interesting player to analyze. What he's doing now is all time, but I knew he was really good. Everybody knows that, right? But was he was he all time great? The answer is no.
He was inconsistent a little bit.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, you look at some of his years, again, stats are what they are, but just follow me for a sec. Just batting average. I know it's an old stat. 272, 262, 311, 274, 264, 323, 292. Some really good seasons. And by the way, the on-base percentage is good, though there's been fluctuations there. The OPS has been a couple of times where it's been spiked amongst league leaders, but his all-time OPS is 860, which is good, but it's not like Judge
or Bonds. It's not 500 million
good. Exactly. So, and I always thought he was a little out of shape and he wasn't a great athlete. How would he age? What he has done the last month or so has been phenomenal.
And he's been a leader. Like, there's something you could see with the Blue Jays. They're a close-knit group.
They are. I'm envious in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
They're scrappy.
Of course. And they're built the right way, meaning not just that, they could put the bat on the ball. Yes, they do that. But they also have the stars like Vlad, like Springer. They also have the stars in place. And then you get they've gotten the perfect combination. A guy comes up from the minors when you Savage that's dominating. Like, those are the things that you need. The mojo at home, that home crowd. Now, look, they still could lose these next two games. I would be stunned if they lost both of these games.
Me too.
Home.
They're going to be champions.
You would think so because of that home field advantage. Joey Clams calling from Brooklyn on the first segment of the show. What's up, Joey Clams?
Joey boy.
Forget about it. Cadillac's better than a Lincoln.
That's
How you guys doing?
You
Listen,
better believe
Sally,
it.
Yeah. Sally, after four games, you called the Nick Coach a clown. 9 years. This guy Boone is a clown. He's a bozo. He wins regular season games against Puss. Look at the look at the way the Yankees play. It's terrible. You know what Vladdy said? He goes, I'm a better baseball player all around because of Don Mattingly.
That's all. I didn't see that.
You guys stick up for this guy, boom. Like
well, Joe,
crazy.
Hold on. I got a question for you. Listen, number one, we both like him and know him, but when it's time to say he made a mistake, like when he went to Cortez and getting in the World Series, I crushed him. Let me ask you a question. So you think it's more, and we're not going to derail this and get into this for 4 hours, but I need an answer because based on what you said about Boone. So basically what you tell, if I'm hearing this right, is that you think that the Yankees would be champions if they had a different manager. That's pretty much what you're saying, right?
If they had a better manager, absolutely, and a better coaching staff.
That's what you're saying, right? I think you're nuts. I think you're wrong. Totally. I respectfully disagree.
No way. He's terrible.
It's the roster, Joe.
Terrible decision in the playoffs.
Joe, it's the roster, Joe.
He can't manage the game. NJ prospects, bring your daughters down here for softball. Come see.
There you go, Joey Clams. Appreciate it. I'm with you, BT. Now, I'm not going
to say he's perfect. Yeah. He's not Miller Huggins, man. We know that.
100%. I'm not going to absolve Aaron Boone here.
No.
It's a Yankee organizational thing that Boone is a part of that maybe you have an issue with. You can't tell me that if they hired Don Mattingly. First of all, they didn't want Don Mattingly. So get on the Yankee hierarchy. It's not Boone's fault. It's the Yankee hierarchy that hired this regime, the front office, the way that they do it, the DON, Department of Nerds, what do we call it? Is that what
well,
it
not we, you.
Yeah, the DON. The DON. The call made it, right, then I made it. Department of Nerds, like, that's what they want. They didn't want Donnie Baseball. But that's not Boone's fault.
No. You know what's nuts too? Like, when the hitting coach, obviously, we all remember that. When there was a thought that Mattingly, and there was certainly a movement for Donnie to become the manager, I didn't want him to get the job.
Because you know if it went wrong, you'd have to.
I can't do it to my guy. I mean, I would have to, but I don't want to be put in that spot. It's Donnie.
Maybe you wouldn't have been put in that spot.
That's true. Maybe you would have won if they would have had a better roster. Back to the original point.
I do know this. Donnie spent all those years with the Yankees. He leaves. They win World Series. Now he finally might get it without being a Yankee.
Yeah. Well, it's a strange world, buddy. I mean, it sucks.
A World Series champion. I mean, think about that.
It's crazy. And even to make it more painful, the 94 season, I haven't watched the Expos thing yet. I know you have. But
you're going to be disappointed.
I know. You told me. I was going to watch it the other night. I got wrapped up with some stuff, but I'm going to this weekend at some point. The Expos were the best team in the NL. The Yankees were cooking in the American League. They may have gotten to the World Series that year. Then they lose in horrific fashion in 95. Mm. And then the guy that replaces Don Mattingly goes on to crush a gazillion home runs in the World Series and become a multi-time champion in Tino, who I love, just not Donnie.
That's cruel. And you hope that Mattingly, all these years later, even though it's not the same, not doing it as a player, still, you get that World Series ring, he's earned that with all his time as a great player, as a coach, as a manager, all the time he's put in the game. I don't care if you get it as a player or not, BT. If you win the World Series, you always have that ring. You'll always be a part of a World Series winning team.
So I agree.
I hope Mattingly does get it.
So do I. You know that. All right, Sal. BT and Sal on the Fan. 888-808-1019 is the number. We'll get to the car. Hey, Dexter Lawrence responded. We'll get to that a little later. Big Dex. Carl. In the headlines for the first time since us.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Can't help but think that the Mets and Yankees, and really for me last night it was more the Yankees, but you could throw the Mets in there. Obviously, they're in the same stratosphere with the payroll and all that stuff. The Yankees years ago not going hard after Freddie Freeman, never really making him an offer. Obviously falling short of Ohtani. It's not their fault. They tried for Ohtani, but I don't think the Mets and Yankees have done nearly enough. You know, the Dodgers have superstars, and they add on top of that. And with the Mets and Yankees, as we start to look ahead to the offseason, and once the World Series is officially over, we'll get more into that. It's always, well, this guy maybe, maybe that guy. It's never, and that guy. And I think we got to let go of those restrictions and make sure that both these teams know that they have to go all the way in to truly compete at the level of the Dodgers.
Yeah, I mean, listen, there's obviously a difference between not trying and not doing. Do you think it's a lack of trying or just a lack of getting it done?
I do. I think it's a little bit of both. Yeah, the Yankees could have had Freddie Freeman. Well, I don't know if they could have had him. They could have made him an offer years ago.
Yeah.
My whole thing back then, this was 2021, 2020, whatever it was. My whole thing was, he's never leaving Atlanta. He doesn't want to leave Atlanta. The Yankees never made him an offer. And then he ends up leaving and going to the Dodgers. Now, the Ohtani thing, the Mets and Yankees both wanted Ohtani. Yamamoto, same thing. Mets and Yankees both wanted Yamamoto. And they kept upping their offer like, that to me wasn't a lack of want or effort. That was just a lack of, there's nothing you can do about it. They're going to choose the Dodgers. Okay, well, in that case, you're screwed. But that means you better go over the top for the others. Soto last year, the Yankees drew their line. It could have, like, instead of us saying, well, plan B was great, it could have been Soto plus the other guys to make the team better. Same thing with the Mets as it pertains whether it's last year or this year. Like, I kind of took off the gas because I just wanted Soto and they got Soto. But why couldn't have been Soto and Freed or and a top pitcher? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. I do.
Same thing this year. It seems like, well, it could be Bregman or Alonso. Or if they bring back Diaz, maybe they can't do... No. If you're trying to win and legitimately compete with the Dodgers, the Brewers may be a nice story. You know, some of the other little engine that could teams are a nice story. That's not New York. We should have the higher expectations for the Mets.
I agree with that. Now, listen, so a couple things here. So the Angels are never going to be a threat to the Dodgers, okay? Once Cohen came with his money, now the Mets' ability to take away from the Yankees, that dynamic has shifted here. So what I don't understand, and I don't pretend to know the origin of this, but there was a point where New York Yankees were the destination for every Japanese star. And now you hear, I guess this came out with Ohtani, that the Yankees never had a chance and that he was always going to go to the Dodgers, and the Dodgers, the favorite, you know, the favorite team of the Japanese player.
The first time they had a chance, too, when he went to the Angels, but...
That's true.
Remember, the Yankees were involved in that.
I know they were. I just don't know why it's changed here, so... But it has changed. It doesn't really matter why. I guess the question is, what do the Yankees or the Mets do to change this up? Well, the first thing is, you know, there's an opportunity this winter here, Sal, to really change the course of the future. Hey, the Mets, even I don't think the Yankees will do it, but the Mets, you want Skubal? Go get him. Somebody want Kyle Tucker? Go get him. Like, it's not like this is a free agent class or a trade or potential trade class where there's B-listers. There are multiple A-listers, right? And the other thing, too, is, and I think this is going to impact both the Yankees and the Mets favorably. When we talk about 2027, the very real possibility that there's going to be an absence of baseball, to me, you got to go for it now. Because if there is no baseball in 2027, or even if it's a condensed version, then, you know, now Judge's prime is further complicated. Same with Lindor, same with some of these players who were right in that like the middle of their prime. So I think that I think the Mets, I think, will take a big swing this winter. I do. I really do. I'm less convinced on the Yankees, but with your ultimate point, I'm with you. Like, there's no reason why there should be the Dodgers and, like, the Yankees and the Mets at the altar bowing to the Dodgers. Go and do the same damn thing.
The Ohtani.
Spend some money.
The Ohtani Yamamoto things are immensely frustrating because there was a realistic alternate timeline. Had Ohtani signed with the Yankees years ago, we could have been talking about Shohei Ohtani for the last 5 years as a Yankee and think about what he's done with the Dodgers. Imagine him doing that with the Yankees. Unfortunately, it wasn't the Yankees' fault. He didn't want them. Okay, he didn't want them when he chose the Angels, and he didn't want them again when he chose the Dodgers. Now, the second time around, the Mets would have been involved as well with Cohen's money, but he didn't want New York. He wanted them. Yamamoto, same thing. As for the other parts, that's where, to me, it gets interesting. You mentioned Skubal, or you mentioned Kyle Tucker. Yep. Do you think the Dodgers are going to just sit back and not do anything? Like, we've how many times are we going to see the Dodgers? Seriously,
that's fair.
They did get involved in Soto to a little bit. Now, they weren't going to go to the lengths that maybe the Mets did, and certainly weren't going to. Soto wasn't going to have that money deferred. I don't know all the details there, but the Dodgers were ruled out. But it's not like they had no interest in him because they were already loaded up. I would expect them to make a run at Kyle Tucker and maybe even make a run at trading for Tarek Skubal. Like, there is no end to the way the Dodgers go out there and acquire star after star after star. So why then here in New York with two of the richest owners in the sport, with the biggest city in the sport in New York, why would we make it, well, okay, they got this guy and their payroll's this, so it you can't go anymore. Like, no, I'm sorry. And I don't want to be greedy, and that's why sometimes I do lay off, but the Mets should be able to re-sign Diaz, bring back Alonso, and upgrade elsewhere, whether it's Skubal, whether it's Bregman. I know that not always spending money means you're going to have success. However, the Mets specifically are in a spot where they do have to overspend to make up for lost time here, where the Yankees may be in a different position.
They do. The Mets have to close. The Mets need pitching. Yeah. There's no doubt about that. Mets need another stick or two as well. So, and the Yankees need some stuff. I just don't know. Like, and I said this before, like, you look at the timeline, whether it was Arabu, who wasn't very good, you know, Matsui, who was great, Tanaka, who was really solid. Everybody's saying that again, this, I don't know why this has it changed, because the Dodgers simply have won and they're more appealing. See,
Yankees won the spot. You're right.
I know. I can understand for a long time. This is not me taking a knock at the Mets. It's really not. But I can understand why for a long time, like the star Japanese player never viewed the Mets as a real destination. Number one, the Wilpons were never coughing up the money. And number two, they weren't championship viable enough. That, like, they weren't the Yankees, right?
You know, well, not only that, they weren't the brand. In Japan, that you grow up seeing the Yankees.
And the Dodgers now.
But it used to be the Yankee thing. To your point, you mentioned Tanaka, you mentioned Matsui. The Yankees were the team that would land the premier superstar from Japan.
Yeah, there was a point, Sal, and this is really your ultimate point, although you stretch it out to the Mets, which I get as well. There was a point any time, and I would just sit back there, and Yankee fans, you know I'm not alone with this, like, so-and-so Japanese superstar about to hit the market. I'm like, all right, when are we getting him? When is he posting? Yeah. When is he coming? What position? Where is he hitting? Is he behind A-Rod? Is he after A-Rod? Is he behind this guy? Now, it just hasn't worked out that way. I don't know why. I will say this, and this is the sheer reality of one thing that nobody really wants to address or really even want to say. I'll say it, and I'm from here, like you, so it's not a knock. New York is brutal. I mean, now the traffic in
taxes
L.A.
Taxes and stuff?
Well, taxes. California is even more broken than we are. So, but the weather. Like, if you look at, and again, I'm not going to get into the taxes and this, but just a broad, you know, broad, like a little shot here. Taxes stink in both places. Traffic stinks in both places. So what has become more appealing from the Dodgers versus the Yankees and now the Mets? Well, the weather and now the winning. That's it. But, like, even the Knicks, like, when you're
also the travel to Japan.
That's absolutely a big deal. Good point.
But that was always the case.
True. When Arabu and Hideki and those guys, that it didn't dissuade them. Now, like, I don't know if this isn't why LeBron didn't come or Durant or whatever, but if you're a free agent, all right, and you want the bright lights in New York, which, by the way, you don't need anymore because Madison Avenue has been mobile for 10, 12, 15 years now. The world is no longer just in New York City, as we well know. I think that you've got to really weigh some logistical issues. Like, all right, if you want to come to the Knicks and you want to live up in Westchester, get a beautiful home by the practice facility, fantastic. Now you got to come on the West Side Highway on game night. It's a pain in the ass. You want to become a Met and you get a beautiful mansion out east? Fantastic. You could do that. Good luck getting to and from games. You want to be a Yankee? All right, go to Alpine, you know, which is an incredibly, you know, affluent CC's there, or he was. I know a lot of the Yankees that make a lot of money go to Alpine. Great. Good luck getting back and forth over the GW when you try to go to a game. So there are logistical issues. But again, I say that there's also logistical issues in L.A. where the traffic is worse. So to me, it's really more a reflection of the way the Dodgers are now perceived.
Yeah, the brand.
The brand, their forward thinking, their ability to put together these very innovative contracts with the deferments. Hey, I just said a lot there. Let me say it more succinctly. The Dodgers are better and smarter and wealthier than both the Yankees. Well, not wealthier than Cohen.
Right.
But certainly the other things apply than the Yankees and the Mets, period.
I think that's the biggest thing. The Mets it's an uphill battle. It will take years to get their brand anywhere near where the Yankees were and are, and certainly the Dodgers where they are now. But if you just go because the Mets now have the money, that's the only reason why they're in the conversation.
Yep.
If all things are equal with the Dodgers, Yankees, and Mets, the Mets are third place. Like, I know that. They could have, and that's if all things are equal. They have to spend more to get in the conversation. That's why Cohen kept going up.
But they
and
didn't
up
spend as much more as much as we thought extra for Soto.
All right, but
I
still,
thought there'd be like $100 million Mets tax. There
but,
wasn't.
But still, they kept going up and up and up. And at some point, the Yankees just tapped out and whatever. You want to talk about the owner's suite and the box, all that stuff, whatever it may be. Yamamoto, Mets up and up and up. They know that they have to do that. That's just that's unfortunately what they have to do because of their history in comparison to the great Yankees and now Dodgers. But if I ask you, you know, 10, 15 years ago, what was the better brand? Like, everybody wearing the Yankee hat.
There's no doubt.
Yeah, yeah. The Yankees were the national brand, the New York Yankees, coming off the dynasty run of the 90s. And now, I don't think it's any doubt, unfortunately.
Oh, yeah. It's not even close.
It's the Dodgers.
You can make a case, Sal, this is going to be crazy, that the Dodgers brand is even more powerful than the most powerful brand in the NFL, which, as we know, you know, basically runs the ship in terms of, you know, sports attention. You can was there a fly
like
in
a,
here?
Like a moth. In here. That can't be a good sign.
Swatting.
Yeah. What does that mean?
I don't know. If there's a black crow that pops in, then we really got issues here. Jesus. The maybe Minko brought it with him. By the way, did Minko bring a moth? Yeah. Minko's here. He's gonna pop in later. I don't know. I think that like at the apex maybe of the Warriors brand a couple of years ago. That was obviously incredibly high. The Chiefs with Mahomes and the Niners back in the day, and even Dallas's brand, and the Yankees, which has been diminished a bit. You can make the case that of all the sports, the Dodgers have the number one brand. And the scary thing is, it's getting better. It's getting more powerful.
Right. Which is why, to bring it back, and we'll get back to the calls here, the Mets and Yankees, they may not feel like they want to go over the top, and they may feel like they already are doing it with the way their payrolls are. It's not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, to compete with the Dodgers at the highest level, you're going to need more. BT and Sal on the Fan, our friends at Town Fair Tire, remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Ralph is calling from Manhattan, starting us off. What's up, Ralph?
By the way, I thought New York was the center of the universe. Boy, I'm glad you opened my eyes because, you know, I thought Manhattan was everything back in the old days. But
not as much as it used to be, Ralph. Mm.
I guess you're right, BT, unfortunately, because I liked it better that way. But,
me too.
But here's a side note before I say something. Ohtani, if there was any doubt in anybody's mind that dedication and hard work and putting in the time was not the key to success, Ohtani just proved them wrong because this guy is phenomenal. And I'm a tough marker, and this guy is unbelievable what he does night to night. If you want to go into a baseball season, guys, with 14 teams somewhere, about 14 teams that are actually in contention, well, we'll continue down the money road and we'll go into oblivion and baseball is going to go down the tubes because if you throw enough money at your team, the Dodgers, proof in point, you throw enough money, you're going to be a contender. Now, do you throw that money smartly? Do you do it well? Do you do it with finesse? That's another story. But essentially, after all is said and done, guys, the most money wins, and that's not good.
Yeah, I mean, it's not guaranteed, Ralph, and thank you for the call, but it certainly helps, and that's why the idea of like, oh, well, look at what the Brewers are doing, or look at what the little engine that could teams are doing. Oh, the Guardians, they compete all the time, and look at their payroll. No, in the end, you'd rather be like the Dodgers every time. And by the way, they could go out there and sign Tanner Scott, as they did, and he could be totally useless, and they still overcome it. How come the Mets couldn't get in on Blake Snell? Like, we always talk about some of the other guys that were out there. Blake Snell, other teams could, and the Yankees could have had him as well. Why couldn't they go get Blake Snell? Dodgers did. They get Glasnow on top of that. They get Yamamoto, Sasaki on top of that. Obviously, Ohtani. Like, why is there
Mookie
no
Betts, yeah, Freddie Freeman.
Why is there no end to what the Dodgers could do? And they could just continue to churn out big trades with their prospects as well. But yet here we're hugging the prospects.
Yeah.
We're waiting for the development. We're not going all in on the free agents. We're not adding on top of, like you mentioned, Schoolbund. It seems like a perfect fit for the Mets. And even I would say, like, well, the Yankees don't need him. Well, why not? Like, would they not benefit from adding Tarik Skubal on top of already with Garrett Cole and Max Fried? Why not? They're the Yankees, right? Go load up the way the Dodgers are.
Yeah. Well, especially with the news, you know, what came out where Rodon's not going to be ready for the start of the season. I think that Garrett Cole is going to be pretty close to being Garrett Cole, but he's not going to be ready by opening day. Clark Schmidt's going to be out until late August with the Tommy John. Yeah, I'm with you. There's a window. Go out and get him. You know, flex here. This is the
time
to flex, guys. He's available. Everybody knows that the Tigers aren't going to give him $500 million, whatever, there might be more, whatever the number is. And I'm not even imploring the Yankees to necessarily do that, but get rid of some of these prospects and bring him in for next year. And then from the Mets' point of view, you know, I really do think McClain could be special. And I understand, and I mean special, not good, I mean special. And I understand the pushback, like, you don't want to give up McClain for a possible rental. And I do, you know, from just baseball sensibility, I do understand that. But I even would disregard that and say, no, there's no way you can enter the year next year with Manaea.
But think about it this way.
And hoping that all these guys are back to form and healthy and the McClain. And I'd give up anybody for him.
Would you give up Schwitler?
No.
Okay, but then,
hold on. I know. It sounds like I'm like it's a contradiction.
Well, it is. Because
it's not, though, because the Yankees don't need Skubal as desperately the Mets do.
Right, but the point is, those guys, Schwitler and McClain, are the most valuable commodities in the sport. That's the most valuable asset that you could possibly have. A young pitcher with star potential is under control for years to come. I'm with you. And by the way, if Skubal, like if it were Skeens, different story. Skubal's under control for 1 year.
Yep.
So that's the only, I'm not a prospect target. You can take literally anybody else. You want Alvarez, you want Mauricio, you want Benj, you want Jet Williams, like from a Met perspective for Skubal. Literally, it's Sprout and Tong, like multiple others. You could have anybody else. McClain's the one thing. Same with Schwitler for me. Like, you could have Dominguez, you could have Spencer Jones, you could have Lombard if you want. Like, to get Skubal, you could have, those are the guys we're talking about here. I can't give up the young star pitcher that's already shown star potential that's under control for years because that's the most valuable.
All right, so let me ask you this. I get it, and I respect the philosophy, all right? But even the most battle-tested philosophies could be pushed to a limit.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, let me say that the Mets open up the checkbook and they get Kyle Tucker.
Mm-hmm.
Now, where he played, well, they'll figure that out. Okay, you got Soto, you got Tucker. I'll even say that they're able to bring Pete on a deal, you know, that's better than last year. Not quite as nuts as some people, 6 or 7. That's not going to happen. Basically, what I'm saying is the Mets load up for 2026. You're still not giving up those. You're not giving up McClain for that one push for the World
Series.
Because
to me, he's a number two. So, and also, you could just say that you would just go sign him next year. Like, I know what you're saying. And maybe there is a world where you can convince me if it were McClain straight up for Skubal. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not giving up anything else.
It's going to have to be more than that. That's not going to get it done.
Okay, well, but then I'm not. Then you
just like Schlitter for Skubal straight up wouldn't get it done. Yeah. You're going to have to give up more.
But you
Skubal.
But the Yankees could get him and the Mets could get him too, I think, without giving up Schlitter or McClain. And by the way, the point is, it's not about whether we would do it. Like, that's a separate conversation. It's more about
going for it.
Yeah.
You're going for it.
Yeah, and going for it is not like, well, we had a nice plan B.
Correct.
Or, well, we signed Soto and now
No, like, it's not, listen, guys, this is not about the Yankees or the Mets being viable or being really good. That's obviously, now the Mets have more work to do, but both teams are going to be right in the mix next year. There's no doubt about that. This is about taking a swing for the fences that really neither team has taken in a long time. I mean, don't just try to squeak one over the right field wall. Let's go top tank. Let's go. Go nuts this offseason. Yankee fans are pissed. Listen, we aired the press conference. We aired Boone and we aired Cashman. We aired it a lot. Then we took all the calls. Not a single Yankee fan was happy with the way the season ended, and rightfully so. And the way the Mets season ended, Met fans were disgusted, and rightfully so. So get in the box, dig in, and try to hit one 450. There's big names out there. Let's go.
And the Jets ever start winning games? They're going to get all their customers.
Right.
All the people who aren't season ticket holders are buying tickets. Guess what? They're going to buy tickets. It's as simple as that. So, yes, right now as they're losing, you're going to make your customers unhappy. Even if they resubscribe, they're pissed off, they hate you. It still comes down to the same bottom line, which is when you win, you'll have a packed stadium and season tickets will be impossible to get. And if you lose, customers may make business decisions of their own where they say it's not worth having them.
Right.
So making a callous business decision, Teak, as you worded it, still in the short term may benefit if they don't lose as many customers as the income they're bringing in on raised prices.
And I think that's the bet, is that they're trending towards having a better team. That's in their minds. They haven't obviously shown that on the field yet, but they're trending to having a better team. So the price increase won't affect them as the seasons go on forward. Not this season, going forward.
Just remember this, and I said this about the Mets, and it turned out to be very correct in terms of how well they drew this season. attendance follows success.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't predate it. So when the Mets weren't drawing in 2024 and we're all like,
and they were good.
They were very good. I kept telling you, yeah, it sucks. I wish more people were there, but it'll happen next year. It's what always happens. It's why the 97 Yankees outdrew the 96 Yankees. So the Jets haven't had any success. Mm. So we're still years away from seeing that increase in terms of people wanting to go to games because, remember, it will follow the success. Well, they haven't had success.
Right, right.
So they're not getting more people in the building next year. They got to win next year.
Right.
And then the year after that, there'll be more people in the building. So we're still going to be, Woody is going to be waiting a while.
Yeah, but I hope he doesn't do it again.
Raise prices?
Yes.
Dude, he's raised prices every year.
I know.
It's unbelievable.
So how can you do it again?
He continues to do it. Now, he's not doing it on every section,
mm-hmm.
but he's doing it on a lot of sections, which is unbelievable. Jose's in Brentwood. What's up, Jose?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Doing good. Well.
So I'm a low percentage of watching the whole game. Of course, you know,
yeah.
I'm enjoying all the eras the Dodgers are doing,
mm-hmm.
and I want the Blue Jays to lose. And it made me think of my team, and I'm nervous for next year because I know Cashman pretty much has one shot, and I feel like he's going to go big or go home this offspring with all these big moves because he's seen the success of the Dodgers. And for his mind, he's like, only got one more year. Why not go big or go home? So I just want your take on that.
Well, I'm going to tell you something, Jose, and I'm glad you brought this up because I need to tell Tiki, Sean, and Tommy something very, very important. I have not told them this, but they have to know this right now on Tuesday, October 28th. We have been very quiet about the baseball offseason. We haven't mm-hmm. said much. And the reason we haven't said much is baseball season's still going on.
Right.
There's no offseason.
Mm-hmm.
The minute this World Series ends, maybe tomorrow night, maybe in five, the minute this World Series ends, there's a homework project that we all have.
Which is?
To come up with our plans of attack for each of the local teams' offseason.
Mm.
Realistic plans. Because instead of saying, Mets need pitching, okay, who? Instead of saying, the Yankees need to do ba-ba-ba, who?
Mm.
So, Tiki, as you're bored watching tonight's baseball game, because you probably will be in the third inning,
yeah.
I want you to do what you do best, go down a rabbit hole, and start analyzing free agents, trade targets, because come either Wednesday, Thursday or next week, we need to be prepared with our Mets and Yankees offseason plans. And that goes for the listeners as well. When you're bored watching mm-hmm. tonight's playoff game, a World Series game, I should say,
right.
Yankee fans, prepare your plan of attack. Met fans, prepare your plan of attack. Because as soon as we get the offseason, we'll have a day in which we can all kind of compare notes on our plan of attack. Tiki, do you accept this mission?
Of course. That means that me, Tommy, Sean, I guess you probably have already done this.
I've already done it.
Yeah, of course you have. We have to do both teams.
Correct.
We can't just do our team.
Yeah, you got to be.
We have to do both teams.
You got to be IBOs.
All right,
and you can do it. I mean, it's more difficult, obviously, for Tommy and Sean, but you're a professional IBO.
Yeah.
So, Met plan, Yankee plan. That means Tommy, Yankee plan. And don't be a jerk.
Mm. Well, you can't set ground rules.
Right.
That's not fair. I could do whatever I want.
So, you're going
to
like.
The question is, are we allowed to go to the extreme?
I think you got
to
stay.
Are we allowed to do the, I mean, trade Anthony Volpe, get XYZ, come back and do this?
It's got
to
be realistic.
Okay.
Realistic. The ground rules are
not
realistic.
Extreme. Not extreme.
So realistic. So we're doing a Brian Cashman offseason. Underwhelming. Got it.
Well, what you would suggest Brian Cashman do under the Hal Steinbrenner budget. Like, obviously, you can't expand the payroll to $800 million because
no,
we know that Hal and even Steve aren't going to do that.
Yeah.
So when I say realistic, I don't mean what we think David Stearns is going to do or what we think Brian Cashman's going to do. I mean, okay, this is what I think the budget is, within reason. These are the players I would target. Okay. I think that's fair.
So wiping out Volpe, though, then would be realistic because it has nothing to do with budget.
Because if I'm advising Brian Cashman, you know the first thing I'm saying to him?
Go ahead.
Is that you need to create an environment for Aaron Judge like Shohei Ohtani has with the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Have a super team around them?
At least steps closer to it.
Okay.
Because you don't. And this is the debate Sean and I were having about how much better Shohei Ohtani is. And it's not really about Shohei Ohtani being better, but he is. And it's not because statistics or home runs or batting average or any of that
stuff. Well, he does something no player in the history of baseball has ever done.
Okay, but
including Babe Ruth.
Okay, it's not even that. The pitching, which we'll find out tomorrow, tonight, is not even part of the conversation. He's going to win back-to-back-to-back MVPs. And if it wasn't for Judge beating him in 22, he'd have five in a row.
Right.
Think about that. Five in a row. He finished second to Judge in 22. And so Shohei Ohtani is special. But the reason I'm talking about him being better than Judge is that I look at great athletes and moments. It's not about what did you compile, right? Frank Gore is one of the greatest running backs in NFL history. Rushed for 16,000 yards.
Right.
Can you remember a great moment from his career?
Yeah, like, some good games for the Jets,
okay,
I guess.
Some good games, but can you talk about now, a moment
he's a
where
compiler.
It was like, dude, in that moment, he rushed for 190 yards.
Right.
Like, can you think of one?
Not really.
Exactly. Shohei Ohtani is given moments, and he always excels.
Well,
and
that's not, I don't think that's true.
Did he not in game?
Well, like, hold on.
By the way,
Shohei Ohtani is a great, he is the best player in baseball. I remember Tommy and I had that argument, and what I always said, and I stand by every word, is once he pitches, he's the best player in baseball.
Right.
When he's just a DH,
right.
I think Judge is better. And by the way, I'll stand by that. I still, despite what he's doing right now, and it is amazing, pound for pound, the numbers back me up. Aaron Judge is a better offensive 100%. Player than Shohei Ohtani.
But when the moments have come for Aaron Judge, particularly in the postseason, they're forgettable.
Okay, you're right, but here's my counter to this. And maybe this is your overall point, so correct me if I'm wrong. Shohei Ohtani between last year's World Series and this year's Game 4 of the NLCS was 6 for 57.
Right, so he was...
He did nothing. So he got carried by everybody
else. First of all, last year's World Series, he was fully physically compromised.
That's not my problem.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't. It truly doesn't matter.
So we don't count that?
Of course you count it.
Okay.
But they won the World Series.
Despite him.
But they won the World Series.
Despite him.
You're missing my point because they won the World Series despite him.
Correct.
Could the Yankees win the World Series despite Aaron
That's
Judge?
That's where I agree
the
with
answer
you.
Is no.
Okay. Well,
my first statement, forget the Shohei Ohtani stuff. My first statement was that Brian Cashman needs to put around Aaron Judge what Shohei Ohtani has with the LA Dodgers, or at least a facsimile of it.
So,
something close to it.
So based
Not
on
something
that.
Where it's like, yeah, I don't know about this guy. I don't know about this guy either. I don't know about this prospect, super prospect Anthony Volpe at shortstop because he sucked and he's hurt. Like, I don't know about Jason Dominguez who doesn't play for the last month of the season. Like, that's not going to get you a World Series for Aaron Judge.
So based on that
plan, if you have a great player, how it's a disservice not to do that for him.
So you know what
you
that
know
means?
What I, mean?
I do know what you mean, and that part I agree with. So I'll stick with that because the Ohtani Judge argument we'll have for months. Here's Tiki Barber's plan to make the Yankees the Dodgers to give Judge the same grouping that Ohtani has. You ready?
Spend money.
They have to sign Pete Alonso to play first base.
Dude.
Kyle Tucker to play right field.
All about it.
Alex Bregman to play shortstop and eventually just move to third base. If Mookie Betts can play shortstop, Alex Bregman can. So here's the plan. Tucker, Alonso, Bregman, and Bellinger. If Cashman does all of that, then you're right. The Yankees are the Dodgers.
You know what the problem is?
They're not going to do even 70% of that?
Pitching.
I would disagree. I think the Yankee pitching is actually pretty stellar.
If everybody's healthy.
Well, isn't that the Dodger thing? The Dodger pitching wasn't healthy most of the season. They are fortunate that everyone is healthy now. Blake Snell missed time. Tyler Glasnow missed time. Shohei Ohtani missed time.
Right.
Even Yamamoto last year missed time. So, like, that argument about pitching, that was the biggest question the Dodgers faced. And for them, credit to them, everybody's healthy.
Starting pitching.
Well, their bullpen is, I mean, I know it was great yesterday, but it's a mess. I'm just saying, to make the Yankees what the Dodgers are, based on your point, which is a fair one, that's literally what they'd have to do.
Well, of course.
Does anyone think they're going to do half of that?
No. But why would you not?
Yeah. I'm not disagreeing with that part.
We're just having the Tucker or Bellinger argument. How about just get two guys?
You are right. But unfortunately, it's not realistic.
Okay,
so when you make your plan, it's got to be realistic.
So the realistic plan that, so to summarize, the homework we got to do is going to be very unexciting.
Right.
I think we're pretty good.
No, I think if they
you're not, Aaron Boone.
I think that was Cashman, but close enough. That is, though they do, actually, play that one more time. Was that Aaron Boone?
Hold on, sounded like Boone to me.
I think we're pretty good.
Ah, it's Cashman.
But again, another problem, they sound too much alike when they're mad. So, again,
they've
morphed into each other.
So, here's the assignment for everybody. As soon as the baseball season is officially over, which could happen tomorrow, it could happen on Friday night, it could happen on Saturday night, have your off-season plans ready.
Yes, that line forms on the right, babe. Not that Maggie's back in.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM.
Yes, sir. 202 on the fan. McMonagle here with you. As we got you for the next 3 hours, we take it to 5 o'clock in the warm-up show, 888-808-1019. We got Fleegs on the other side, Marco doing updates, and we're taking your calls on this Thursday morning all the way till 5 a.m. And so, obviously, we are coming off just a dominant performance in the World Series. We'll get to that Dexter Lawrence story. We'll get to whether or not the Jets are making more trades after a trade they already made. We'll even mix in a little Phil Jackson, a little Yes Network. There's a lot to get to on this Thursday morning, but we have to talk about this series and what we saw from Trey Savage last night. And really, this entire series. I mean, it is stunning. And I have to admit, you know, it's funny because I'm the Yankee shill. I've called the Blue Jays frauds all year. Hell, I've been calling the Blue Jays frauds since 2021. And so everyone's hitting me up, and people seem to care about who I'm rooting about. Not really, but some do. And, like, I'm watching this game, and as a Yankee fan, right, it is very difficult to, like, at any moment, I'm rooting against everyone. Like, there's not one thing that I'm particularly rooting for. I know many are looking for Don Mattingly to get his first world championship. A lot of people who like the way the Toronto Blue Jays play, that they put the ball in play, that they, you know, they have this approach that everybody seems to love, and they want to take down the big bad Dodgers. So maybe there's a lot of Blue Jays fans out there. But I'm watching the game, and I'm rooting against everyone. And it's hard for me not to admit that I don't want to see the Blue Jays win. We've talked about it, but watching this game last night, and watching your Savage go through the top of this super team, this Dodger team that's unbeatable, this Dodger team that spends all the money. And it's funny because we'll get to the Yankee stuff, and it's no matter who wins, why can't the Yankees be like that? Why can't the Yankees go get every free agent? Why can't the Yankees go spend money like the Los Angeles Dodgers? I don't understand why. Where's Hal Steinbrenner? Why can't Hal go get Tucker and Bellinger? Why are we even deciding which one of those two do we want? What, the Dodgers can do it. Why can't the Yankees do it? Oh, why can't the Yankees put an approach like that and slap the ball the other way with two strikes? If only they did that, they would win championships. Like, watching it, it's infuriating knowing that the Yankees are both failing as trying to be the Dodgers and trying to be the team that plays the best in the postseason like the Blue Jays are. And it's frustrating watching because, yeah, as a Yankee fan, you see the failings that they have, you know, with their players' execution and their approach when you watch the Blue Jays, and you see the talent that the Los Angeles Dodgers have in the super team that they've been throughout this entire postseason. It felt like a switch had flipped, and they were taking the regular season kind of off. And the idea they didn't win that division, the idea that they were a wild card team is laughable, because the second the games mattered, they went through that National League like a hot knife through butter. They lost one game against the Phillies. That is it. And they show up into this World Series playing a Toronto team that has now overcome so much. When you look at this Blue Jays team, right? They even though they had their way with the Yankees, I'm not saying different. They kicked the crap out of the Yankees. There is no doubt about it. They kicked the crap out of them all year. They kicked the crap out of them in that series. But after Game 3, where they were up big in that game, they're up 6-1 in that game. And the Yankees come back to take their hearts, and Judge hits the big home run, and then you're looking at the pitching matchup in Game 4. I mean, they got off the deck the next. That's a brutal loss in the postseason to blow that game with an opportunity to sweep the New York Yankees. That's a brutal loss. And they came right back. They came right back the next night, and with a bullpen game, completely shut down the New York Yankees. Then they go into the ALCS. They lose the first two games of that series at home, which has been their, you know, everything. All season long, we talk about how they've been this team all season long. Well, all season long, they have struggled on the road, and they have dominated in that building. And they lose the first two games of that series against Seattle, and they come right back and win the next two in Seattle. And obviously, 6-7 in that building. They win Game 1 of the World Series. Game 2, Yamamoto completely shuts them down. Completely shuts them down. They go to LA knowing they have to take 2 out of 3 to have a chance in the series. They lose a heartbreaker in 18 innings. A heartbreaker in 18 innings. Freddie Freeman walks them off. And from that moment on, they lose Springer, who is in many ways the heartbeat of this team. Yes, it's also Vladimir Guerrero Jr. And it's a lot of guys right now. It's Ernie Clement. It's all these guys who are having, obviously you're Savage. We're going to get to him in a second. Like, it's a lot of guys who've really stepped up and played their best baseball this postseason in this World Series. But, man, you lose Springer, who's going to be the MVP candidate. It's not Vladimir Guerrero Jr. As great as he's been in the postseason, having an all-time postseason, and he signed the contract, and he's kind of the face of the team in many ways. You know, Springer was their MVP. They lose him in that game that goes 18. They play the next two nights without him, and they absolutely take it to the Dodgers. Absolutely take it to him. And as I'm watching it, you know, my opening comments about as a Yankee fan watching it, even though I guess I'd rather see the Dodgers win. I don't know. I'm emotionally a mess watching these games. But it was nice to see. I have to admit, as much as I don't like the Blue Jays, as much as, you know, I've called them frauds and they're pissing me off because they're making me look bad, I'm watching the Dodgers play the worst brand of baseball we have seen them play in forever. This is the same group that had the gall to mock the New York Yankees. Mock the New York Yankees last year with the way they played. And you watched last night, and they're blowing easy double plays. They're instead of just circling a ball and turning a little pop-up down the line into a single, they're Teoscar Hernandez is nowhere near that ball and allows it to roll to the wall for a triple, which leads to a run. They've got wild pitches all over the place. It was an ugly, sloppy brand of baseball. And then you get to your Savage, who we saw dominate the New York Yankees in the same fashion. He just went through the top of the greatest order in the history of baseball with Shohei Ohtani, who I fully admit to me is the best player in baseball and the best player when he pitches and the best player we've ever seen. He goes right through him. Mookie Betts is a major talking point. He's hitting 130 in this series. 130. Freddie Freeman, other than the home run, and listen, it's a walk-off home run in the World Series. We don't know how great he is. Besides that, he's done nothing in this series. Mookie Betts is hitting 130 with no RBIs 5 games into this World Series. Last night, the top of the order, 0 for 11 with 6 strikeouts. You're Savage, this young kid who was pitching and started his career started the season in single A this year. Just had one of the more improbable, incredible starting performances we have ever seen. 12 strikeouts to go through that lineup. They had no chance. They had no chance. A-Rod and Jeter were talking about it, and Poppy in the postgame. Like, he made some of the best hitters and the best team, the team that everybody has to measure up to, the team that we think is going to cause a strike inside baseball because of how much talent they've acquired and how they go about operating their business, the team that is the envy of every Yankee fan. The Yankees should be more like them. Well, they were just like the New York Yankees last night. They looked exactly the same against your Savage as the Yankees did. 12 strikeouts, a dominant performance. You couldn't tell, as they were saying in the postgame, you couldn't tell if it was the slider or the split. He was making them look awful. The amount of swing and misses you heard during the game is the most since they started tracking it in 2008. This is a Dodgers team that is a dangerous lineup who, the minute the playoffs started, was a dominant baseball team. Blake Snell had been lights out this entire postseason, and now it's two starts that this Blue Jays team has made them look bad. They start the game with again, we could talk approach, and this is, you know, it's going to be my kind of main point of the show as we, you know, go back and forth at 888-808-1019. There is no one way to win a championship. There is no one way. You want to be like the Blue Jays, you want to be like the Dodgers. As you're sitting there as a Yankee fan, there's going to be, if the Dodgers would have won this series, why aren't we more like the Dodgers? Go spend the money. Go sign Kyle Tucker and go sign Bellinger. Go trade all of our prospects and bring in all, you know, go get Bichette to play shortstop. Get every big free agent. Go be the Dodgers. Now that the Blue Jays are winning, oh, we got to have the approach of the Blue Jays. Got to be more like them. Need more guys at the bottom of the order who fight and claw like IKF. That's what you need. That's what you need to win a championship. And the bottom line is, none of that is true. You don't need to be the Dodgers, because yes, they won last year, But look at them now. They are one game away from losing to a team that was in last place last year. Don't tell me they changed hitting coaches and everything's different because of that. They signed Santander. It's the same team that went into the season that was in last place last year. And they're one game away from beating the Los Angeles Dodgers. The big bad Dodgers, who's the envy of all of professional sports right now with the way they do business. With Ohtani, with Freeman, with Betts. 0-for-11 with 6 strikeouts. And we talk about, the Blue Jays approach. And yeah, they've got some hits in this series and they've made pitchers go. There's no doubt about it. They start off the game doing what? Hunting fastballs. Swing. You go through those first two innings, they swung at almost every first pitch of the at-bat. They were aggressive inside the zone. They hit the 2 home runs on 3 pitches to start the game. Schneider hits a first pitch fastball. He wasn't working the count. He wasn't, let's get Snell, working in this game and let's get to that bullpen and I'll fight with foul balls. He's looking number one in the zone. Same thing with Vladimir Guerrero Jr. And yeah, they have a great approach. I'm not denying that. They've gotten hits and hits and hits. And this offense has proven to be, throughout this postseason, as relentless and as tough and as dynamic 1-9 as almost any offense we have seen in the postseason in recent history. That's how good they've been. That's how impressive this Toronto Blue Jays team is. There's no doubt about it. There's no doubt about it. And they are taking it to the best team in baseball and absolutely dominating them. And dominating them after a heartbreaker and after losing arguably their best player. Now, I know Vlad's been on another level. He's clearly been the best player in this postseason. But all year long, it has not been Vlad. It has not been Vlad. And to lose him to an injury mid at bat in that game, to have him on the bench, to have an oblique issue after he had the knee issue, and to watch their MVP candidate not come back and play in these two games and to still just move the guys up. Oh, well, we'll hit Schneider leadoff. First pitch home run. Right now, they are having an absolute run. And that's okay to say. It's okay to say that the Blue Jays had an incredible year. They're on an incredible run. They're playing their best baseball right now. They are playing their game, but they're playing it to their best level that they've played it all year. They've been great all year. They had 94 wins, same as the Yankees. They won the tiebreaker because they beat the Yankees during the regular season. This is the best version. You lose Springer, and you still perform like this? You lose a heartbreaking 18-game inning, and you bounce back like this? You fall behind 0-2 in the ALCS in your building, and you bounce back immediately? You have a heartbreaking game where you're about to sweep the Yankees, who have been your bitter rival, and Vladimir Guerrero Jr. wants to do it as bad as winning the World Series, and you blow that game? Every time they have faced adversity, they have come right back. And that's what champions do. And they are playing like champions. But have they built some sort of monster squad that can't be stopped? Have they found the perfect sauce on how to build a championship? Or are they just playing great right now? Because I don't know about you. Call me crazy. And I know it's not a complete crapshoot. But to me, if you're going to hold up, and we do, we hold up the Dodgers as the epitome of why it's not a crapshoot. Look at the Dodgers. Tell me again how it's a crapshoot, McMonagle. Tell me again when I watch the Dodgers spend the money and I watch the Dodgers put together the team and I watch the Dodgers aggressive, bringing in Yamamoto, bringing in Snell, trading for Glasnow. Obviously, Freddie Freeman bets, go and get Shohei Ohtani. Tell me again how it's a crapshoot that this team can do this. Well, tell me how there's not a part of it being some sort of how you're playing right now, because Mookie Betts doesn't look like a former MVP at all. And if you look at his numbers in his postseason history, he is not a good postseason player despite the championships. He was great in 18. Outside of that, he has not been. Freddie Freeman went off in the World Series last year, but he was banged up and not good against the Mets in the DS, in the NLCS, and right now he is not helping them. Otani had one great game. He is not helping them. They're kicking the ball around. They're playing terribly defensively. They look tired and old and lost offensively. And this young kid who is pitching in single A, who's got the highest release point in Major League Baseball, if we've heard it once, we've heard it 1,000 times, stepped into Dodger Stadium and completely outpitched Blake Snell, who makes a ton of money, who is the ace that the Dodgers went out and got and made a, and was the difference in the first couple playoff series for them, and spent all the money and got this incredible rotation. And this kid was drafted last year, went through all of minor league baseball. He's had more postseason starts than regular season starts, and he is dominating the Los Angeles Dodgers. Dominating. 12 strikeouts. This Blue Jays team damn near blew a division up 5 with like 12 to play. This Blue Jays team with Jimenez and, you know, Lucas and Clement are taking on the Dodgers and they're outplaying them. The same team with the same guys who were in last place last year. There is no formula. There is no secret sauce to winning in the postseason. There's getting there, and then there's playing your game. And you can play the Dodgers game. You can play the Blue Jays game. You can play the Texas Rangers game. You can play the 2019 Nationals game. You can even play the Yankees game. If you play it at your best, and if the players execute, you can win. You will win. Bieber outpitched Glasnow the other night. Max Fried couldn't get out of the fourth inning. Is Bieber better than Max Fried? Like, is Bieber better than, is Max Scherzer right now better than Max Fried? Like, there is no secret sauce, and you are watching it in display right here. You can tell me that it's the approach. You can tell me it's this. You can tell me it's that. It's the Blue Jays are playing their game. They are doing it at an expert level right now. And they are getting pitching performances that are just otherworldly from kids who are making more starts in the postseason than in the regular season. He just got here and he is dominating the best team in the game. And the best team in the game is making blunders all over the place. This team that had the nerve to go out and do podcast after podcast and talk about how, oh yeah, we knew all we had to do was play baseball against the New York Yankees, which I always found preposterous, because you know what you're seeing right now? You know what you're seeing right now? You are seeing the Blue Jays play baseball against the Los Angeles Dodgers, and the Dodgers can't handle it. The Dodgers can't handle it. What's the scouting report watching this Dodger team? Put the ball in play. Play baseball. Throw strikes, they'll swing and miss. How many swings and misses? How many errors? Who'd they look like to you? Who'd they look like to you last night? They looked a lot like the New York Yankees to me. That's what they look like to me. They look like a team swinging and missing. Can't play baseball. The new scouting report on the big bad Los Angeles Dodgers that is the toast of the town, who everybody's jealous of. If only the Yankees were more like them. Can't turn double plays, wild pitches, pass balls, singles into triples, striking out 12 times, 0 for 11 from the top three. Mookie Betts, their superstar, doing nothing. Otani doing nothing. And after they took control of this series with an 18-inning victory, they have completely been outplayed by the upstart Blue Jays. By the little guys who, you know, choke up on the bat and put it in play. Never mind the two bombs to start the game. There is no secret sauce. There is no guaranteed way to win. Play your best game. The Dodgers aren't doing it. The Blue Jays are. And they are up 3-2 heading home for Game 6 Friday night in Toronto, looking to take down the big bad Dodgers with a new scouting report. Play baseball against the Dodgers. I love it. I love it.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.